Welcome back to the FPL Experiment Podcast. Three mates, one team, and one aim for the season: to finish in the top 10K. The international break is nearly done, and now we need to deal with the fallout because there are loads of injuries and loads of problems. Yeah, cheers for that. Let's make some plans, shall we, for game week 8? Big week for the FPL Experiment Podcast. We're going on Thursday night, so tomorrow night, to the Football Content Awards, where we've been nominated for an award, weirdly, which is bizarre.
Richly deserved, Adam.
That's very true, isn't it, Greg? Love it before the podcast. The main topic of conversation, what are we going to wear? Honestly.
The actual attire, Nicholas Jackson, is cocktail.
Is it?
Cocktail?
Yeah, cocktail attire. So if you, do you know what that is?
Dressed as a margarita?
Yes, Adam, dressed as a margarita.
I don't have a tux.
No, well, that's why you're wrong. Cocktail is a balance between formal and casual. Blazer with a nice open shirt collar, whatever you want.
Open toe sandal.
Maybe not open toe sandal.
Okay, fine. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to getting dressed up. Are you going to show us all up, Greg?
Again.
Do you know what, Greg? I'm sure you've been planning your outfit for I don't know how long.
Do you know what? I actually haven't, although I did iron my shirt tonight.
The only thing Greg likes talking more about than windows is bloody ironing. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Whenever we go away together, lads, is there going to be an iron there? Is there an iron there? What sort of iron's there?
Do you know what? Funny enough, I've just packed my bag because I'm not going to obviously be able to pack it tomorrow because I'm going away this weekend. We're going to Centre Parks. My first ever Centre Parks experience. But as I'm rolling up my T-shirts and stuff, I'm thinking, do I iron them now or is there going to be an iron at Centre Parks? I'm assuming there's going to be an iron at Centre Parks.
Did this story need to come out?
Do you know what you need to invest in, Greg? Travel iron. Then that's all your problems solved. There's no need for any more questions then, ever.
Yeah, they're so unreliable, aren't they? Because they can get really, really hot.
No, I don't know enough about travel irons to say whether they're reliable or not. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
We've got other things to talk about. Nick got married last Friday.
Boy. Come on then, Nicholas!
I said to the missus on Thursday night, I was like, oh God, last day of being single. She was like, you're not single now. But the day itself was absolutely wonderful. I can't recommend it enough. To all you singletons out there, tie the knot. It's lovely.
Do you know what? For someone that doesn't like social media, absolutely begging for that picture to go on Instagram. Thirsty for likes, Nicholas Jackson.
I think it's very rare that you get the opportunity to share a photo of you dressed up in a throne. That, for me, is one of the greatest pictures of all time. So I'm glad you shared it. Thank you.
Greatest pictures of all time.
It's up there, definitely. I'm not sure if it's the greatest, but it's up there. So thank you for sharing it and thank you for the responses.
Mate, I've got better pictures of you on my phone. Shall I pop them on Instagram?
Yeah, maybe don't do that.
How are you, Adam, anyway?
Mate, I'm wonderful, thank you. Missed you both at the NFL on the weekend. That was really good. Do you know what was really good from a fantasy perspective? Having two of your players playing in a game. So any time my player's got the ball, I have Patterson at running back, or is he a wide receiver? No one's really sure. And also had Mike Davis, who went in for a touchdown.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, only got him in my team because my brother-in-law's dad is called Mike Davis. which is a great way to pick your fantasy team. But any time they got anywhere near the ball, I was like, yeah, come on!
Love that.
The atmosphere good?
Mate, atmosphere was really good, and the Americans go next level. So there were probably 450 cheerleaders or something, about 8 million T-shirt cannons that they were firing into the crowd. Slightly annoying noise every time the Falcons got anywhere near the ball. A screech of a falcon. But, I mean, they do it all, like sound effects, fireworks, terrible rapper at halftime.
Amazing. Do you know what I found really interesting? So for those people who pay any sort of attention to NFL, that fixture wasn't the most exciting. And they were writing about how, even though the fixture isn't that great on paper, so many people want to go and watch it. And they were saying it's the equivalent of playing, you know, sending Norwich and Burnley over to the States to play a game. Like, but there's still that many people that just want to see the NFL. It's amazing.
Yeah, because you'd have all the, like, Chris Wood would be there, mate. Come on.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. That the Yanks would flock in for that.
Bit pooky. Pooky on my mind. Right, anyway, let's get into the podcast. We'll get into game week picks, our captain, any transfers we're going to make as we try and hit our mini target. We have set a mini target up until game week 10. The target exists because we want to get into 300K by game week 10. Did you watch any football, by the way, over the international break? Because normally I wouldn't watch loads, but I've watched a lot this time round.
I watched both first halves, and I don't know why or what happened to stop me watching each second half. But
of the England games?
So I watched 90 minutes.
The Scotland-Israel game, by the way, was amazing.
Ali McCoy's commentary was amazing on it when old McTominay's goal went in. He was loving life.
McTominay did not know much about that goal, though. That was McGinn's goal was special. But the game, like, if there's one game to watch over this international break, it was the Nations League game. Belgium against France. Have you seen? I only saw the highlights of that, but it's basically Pogba versus KDB in some sort of shootout, just pinging in long range shots. Lloris had an incredible game.
Oh, he was ridiculous. I only saw the highlights as well. My work WhatsApp group was going nuts because they were watching it. But like, and then just I couldn't even believe the ending. It was just phenomenal. It was great football.
And you were saying about KDB, Greg, the other week, and saying he looked a bit leggy at the start of the Liverpool game. I mean, he does look like he might be back in business for City if he's going to keep playing like that.
And that's exciting from FPL as well. It's another big hitter that you potentially want to try and get in your team. So it makes it so much more fun. Love it.
Do you know what? I think he's owned by about 2%.
Which is ridiculous, isn't it?
We've got to get him.
2.1%.
Some horrible injuries over the break and some people that may be out. It sounds like Jota could be back in the team, but Rudiger could be out. Lukaku has fatigue, which doesn't sound great. Rafinha might be playing for Brazil on, I think, Friday morning. So does he make it back for the games over the weekend? So few potential problems there for lots of people and for us, but we'll get into that maybe a bit later. Let's get into game week picks and talk first of all about goalkeepers. City looked like the obvious option at the back against Burnley, but Edison could be one of those involved with Brazil, so might not be around. So I've gone for our boy in goal, and that's Sanchez, because I think up against Norwich and with Brighton doing okay at the back, Norwich by far and away are the worst sides offensively. I think Brighton could be a touch at the back. Who have you gone for, Greg?
I think, yeah, the safe pick's Edison, but the Brazil situation probably leaves a lot to be desired at the moment for all their players. So I actually went back with Mendy, and there's a little bit of method in this madness again. So I chose Sarr a couple of weeks back. He had an absolutely pony game. Chose him again the next week, got an assist. So I chose Mendy last week, and aside from Chilwell going all Karate Kid on Liveramento, he would have actually got some points. So I'm picking him again. I really want Chelsea to take down Brentford. I know you think that they're the second coming and they're absolutely fantastic, but I think that Mendy will keep a clean sheet and he might even get an assist this week.
Yeah, bold choice against Brentford, having done so well against Liverpool. Who are you thinking about nicking goal?
I'm going for Ramsdale for Arsenal at home to Palace. So I was reading an article over the weekend, you know, where they like have like a fan community person who says, this is why I think my team have done well at the start of the season. This is my highlight, blah, blah, blah. Arsenal, the guy was just raving about Ramsdale, saying that he is the person that Arsenal have been missing over the last few years. His leadership qualities are just phenomenal, and they're changing that whole team from back to front. So, you know, at home to Palace, should have a decent shout of a clean sheet. And they've only conceded one in the last four since they got spanked by City. So I think that fixture looks pretty nice for them.
Yeah, that is pretty tasty. City defence as well, fairly obvious. And if they're not going to have Edison, then probably, although it is Pep, but you would imagine he goes with a fairly secure back four or however many he's going to go for at the back. Cancelo would be my pick of their defenders, even though I think Zinchenko is coming back through. But from an attacking perspective, he's just looked so good recently. Seems to be popping up with shots, seems to be popping up in the box with crosses. And he was great for us last season. So I think he would probably be my pick. Obviously, Diaz would be the sensible way into that City defence. Anybody else in that defence that you like, Nick?
Well, I've written down Cancelo, but weirdly, I wrote down Cancelo. And then when I was thinking about our transfers, I put Diaz down because I think he's just more secure. He's played 90 in every game so far. Over the long term, I think Diaz is probably the better pick. But Cancelo is probably more exciting this week at home to Burnley. I mean, he could definitely get on the... Huh?
Sorry, but weren't you talking about Laporte the other day, saying about like the touches he's in the box and actually how attacking he's been?
Yeah, he has. But I just think Diaz is more secure. As soon as I said Laporte, he got injured. So I just feel like Diaz is just one of those maybe three players in that City squad alongside Edison and KDB who is nailed. And I'd rather go with that stress-free option. Oh, up in there.
I accidentally just leant on a buzzer.
I can stop talking if you want.
Mate, I was...
No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Your concise answers, please, Nicholas.
Greg.
I think that obviously the it's
oh, no. Sorry. Right, I'll turn that off because that'll get annoying.
I've gone a little bit left field here and I've actually gone Firpo from Leeds United, and he's only like 0.5% owned at the moment and he's dropped down in value to 4.8. Now, listen, hear me out on this, all right? He's had a really slow start to life, but he's been getting a lot better recently. And you rent a back for Leeds, makes that back four so much more secure. He's so attacking as well, Firpo, that I think with the good run of games that we've got coming out, I think there's an opportunity there for us to get a couple of clean sheets again and also for him to pop up with the odd assist. So we've got like Southampton, Wolves, Norwich. Given the form that actually we've now seemed to have turned a slight corner of the last two games and we've gone back to somewhat of the Leeds of old, I think it's not out there from the realms of possibilities that we could get more clean sheets. And he's coming off the back of 8 massive points at home to Watford, making sexy glances in our direction, boys. I really like him.
I don't think you're going to get that one over the line. I mean, I'm looking the other way from those glances. No,
you also
thank
have
you.
An amazing Mutang. Come on, like that is fantastic.
Now you're talking my language, Greg. Why didn't you lead with that? I'd have been straight in.
I should have led with the Mutang. Always lead with the Mutang.
I mean, first Matty Cash, now Firpo. Like every week is an education, Greg. All these players I've never heard of before.
In midfield, loads of good options, I think. Son is back on the radar. For me at the moment, maybe the most attractive of the Spurs assets that are out there. He is expensive. It's probably only a 1 week pick for me. I'm not massively into the fixtures afterwards, but against Newcastle, I mean, even Firpo could probably score. The other one I like is Saka. And I think maybe Nick, you mentioned him a couple of weeks back. Arsenal better at home. Palace aren't as good away. And Saka's a fairly cheap route into midfield. And you're probably looking in midfield for that differential at around that price point. I think Saar's fixtures turn and they're not as attractive. And maybe that's a conversation we'll have later. And that's why I like Saka. I think when you've got all these other players in your team that are probably going to be very similar to everybody else's, you're searching for that one player that's out there, as we discovered last season, or two players that are kind of different to everybody else. And I like him as an addition, as much as I'm not a massive Arsenal fan. Greg, how about you?
I'm singing off the same hymn sheet as you today, Adam. I've gone with Son as well. And for someone who talks about FBL quite a lot, I didn't realise how well Son has started the season, really. He's like 42 points in total at the moment. He's like sitting fifth overall for midfielders this season. Like he's averaging 7 points a game. You know, 3 goals, 2 assists for an underperforming Spurs team. That's great bang for your buck. And I know you said you don't like the fixtures coming up, but Newcastle, West Ham, Man United next three. None of them are exactly brick walls that he's trying to penetrate there, is he? So he actually is a really, really attractive proposition moving forward. Specifically, can't even say that word, specifically for those in the wild card.
For somebody that's going to be 10 million, I want them to be playing in a good team and I want to expect that they're going to score points, right? Whereas with Son, I don't have an expectation that he's going to score because Spurs aren't playing particularly well.
Mm-hmm. But then doesn't that even further add to how well he started the season, that how poor they have been? He's still averaging 7 points a game.
Well, yeah, it does a bit. But at the same time, he started up front at the start of the season because Kane wasn't around. But he has been better over the last 3 or 4 game weeks in terms of statistics. But I still don't trust him against West Ham and United. I don't see Spurs getting much away at West Ham. Who are you thinking about, Nick?
I think Salah's the obvious pick for the week, but I've actually gone for Phil Foden for City at home to Burnley. I think he's looked great in the last couple of games. Lots of good noise has come from the England camp about how influential he is. I've no idea if he'll actually play, but I think from that midfield, him and KDB look really exciting for me from an FPL perspective, because Grealish obviously looked really good as well, but he's just not doing it. And to add to that, Burnley have conceded 6 in the last 4. And I think from memory, last pod, one of you boys said that they always get absolutely pounded by City.
Yeah.
So Foden, 7.9 million, I think is a nice little pick.
Yeah, it's goals galore when they play against Burnley. I think you have to go back about 6 years since Burnley last beat City. But generally speaking, they get absolutely hammered, especially when City are at home. Forwards,
get him in.
I like Jimenez, and I'd probably go Jimenez over Hwang because he's got a bit more pedigree in the Premier League. And as we said a couple of weeks back, it was that moment where he flicked his hat off and he was like, right, this is it. Symbolism, I think you called it, Nick. I think he's got the ability to score goals and provide assists alongside Hwang, which is why I like him more. And I also don't know 100% whether Hwang's going to start. So I'd probably, of the two, obviously there's a financial difference, I'd probably go Jimenez. How about you, Nick?
So I really don't fancy United's chances against Leicester. Maguire and Varane are injured now. And with that naughty lad, Jamie Vardy, sniffing about. So he's quietly scored 5 in 5, 41 points. I think you mentioned him last week, Greg, and I was like, Vardy, what's he talking about? But I looked at the stats and he's playing really well in a Leicester side that isn't that great. I think at home to United, I think he's really going to do some damage to get the naughty lad Vardy in.
Greg.
See, I've gone for big bad Romelu Lukaku, but this was before he potentially might be a little bit tired because he scored lots of goals on international duty. But I'm still going to stick with him. I know we've been really unlucky owning him. I also really want him to go like full Rochambeau on Brentford and just score a shedload of goals.
This can't be a theme every week where you just want everyone to beat Brentford all the time.
You've picked Mendy because you think he's going to get an assist against Brentford, which is mad, if you ask me. You've picked Firpo because he plays for Leeds and no one's ever heard of him. And now you're picking Lukaku, even though he's injured, just because you want him to beat Brentford.
It's like the start of the season all over again. Greg's had a meltdown.
This is what happens on international break. I don't know. There's method in that madness. Do you know what? Actually, this reminds me. I've got a stat for you.
Yes. A full one this time. Is it a full one?
Yeah, full one this time. It's a little stat quiz. It's quite a short one.
Oh, it's a quiz. I love a quiz. Go on.
Sam Johnston, West Brom goalkeeper, got an assist. Obviously, following in Sarr's footsteps for goalkeeper of the weekend, he got an assist. He is only the second ever Tier 2 player for England to get an assist. Do you know who the other Tier 2 player for England to get an assist was?
What, goalkeeper or just player in general?
Player in general.
Carlton Palmer.
Nope.
Calvin Phillips.
No. Like we're talking 90s here.
I actually Darren Huckabee.
Don't think I've understood the question. What is it?
Steve Ball, Wolves legend, got an assist.
When? Where? What, for England?
Yeah, when Wolves are in the league below.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Tumbleweed.
That's a good stat. Good stat.
Yeah, I like it. Should we talk about differentials?
Oh, let's talk about differentials. Come on.
He's had a week off. Greg Shaw.
Differential of the week.
Differentials are £8 million or less for us and 5% or fewer of teams own them. Last time we did this, Greg was at the top of the table on 35. I had 28. Nick had 14. Nick chose Chris Woods. And true to form, just as he did all of last season, didn't score you any points. In fact, he got his lowest total for the whole season so far and got 1 point.
Oh my God. Against Norwich? That's embarrassing.
Greg went for Rodrigo, got 2. I had Jimenez, he got 10. And, I mean, this won't last long. I'm now at the top of the league. I've got 38. Wow. Greg's got 37. Nick's got 15.
Wow, I'm quite a way off them.
So, Nick, your honours.
I'm going to go for my boy, Philly Foden. 7.9 million, 2.1% at home to Burnley. Probably won't play, but I'm picking him anyway.
Yeah, I think it's a great shout. It's difficult when you're the last person to go because you've got to have 3 on your radar. Greg?
I'm barking up the same tree as Nick Jackson. There was a tweet the other day by @moves78_FBL. It blew my mind.
Right? Oh, Moves? Movesy?
Oh, Movesy, you know Movesy. Classic movie tweet this is.
Moves or Moves?
Moves. Let no bees.
Moves,
bees.
What, like hooves?
Moves like FPL. That guy.
Wow.
Mm.
He's pushing a new theme tune, isn't he?
Just let me talk. Right.
Beep.
Over the last 8 games between City and Burnley, the aggregate score is 31 in City's favour. The last 4 City home games have finished 5-0 against Burnley. And his last 2 Premier League seasons, 30% of all of Mahrez's goals have come against Burnley. I can't afford Mahrez because he's owned by too many people, so I'm going to go Bernardo Silva.
Mahrez hasn't been getting in the team either, has he?
No, but 6.9 million, 1.8%. Bernardo Silva is my differential of the week.
Nice. I love him. I love him.
I love him, I do. This is a bit annoying because I've chosen a player and I've just realised he doesn't fit the criteria. I was going to go for Aubameyang, but he's 9.9 mil. But luckily, I think I've got a backup. I do. And it's Neil Maupay. And it's a fairly obvious...
Oh, my God.
What?
I can't believe you've done that. That's Greg's.
Anyway, that's who I'm going for. Maupay.
Nice.
Maupay, Foden and Silva. This week's differential picks. Let's talk about transfers. Because the feeling after the last podcast for our team was that we weren't going to go with any transfers at all. Obviously, international break has been a wicked little bitch and decided to make things maybe a little more complex than we wanted. So we've got Sanchez in goal against Norwich at the moment. Christensen and Rudiger at the back. Rudiger potentially has an injury, but we'll wait to see. We've got White from Arsenal. Gray, Salah, Rafinha, Jota and Saar across the middle, with Rafinha potentially not playing because of Brazil in the international games. Lukaku, Ronaldo, and then Marcel, Williams and Scarlett on the bench. Our bench is a bit rubbish. Anyway, so the feeling was no transfer last time. What are you thinking now we've maybe had a week to process that, Greg?
I'm still in the no transfer camp. I think it just sets us up more for what we want to do next week in terms of shipping Ronaldo out than trying to plaster over a few paper cracks that we've got at the moment.
Nick?
I've gone turbo. I've gone the opposite.
Do you know what I had a feeling earlier on? It was coming.
I just think everything we know and everything we've said about City versus Burnley is going to be a cricket score. We need to be in that, right? So I've got two paths in my mind. One, decidedly more spicy than the other. So firstly, I want a City defender potentially, and I'd like a City attacker. I think we need to get rid of Ronnie. Jota is potentially injured, and I'm not sure if he's going to start. So I was thinking, this is my first option. Bear with me. Ronnie out for Jesus and Williams out for Diaz. Okay, that's the safe option for a 4-point hit. But then I thought, why not make it more interesting? You can get 6 points from a defender any day of the week. You don't need it to be a City defender. Why don't we go for KDB and Jesus in and Ronnie and Jota out? Ooh, how sexy is that?
The thing is, I don't know because I didn't look. Is Jesus not one of the Brazilian players that would be caught up in this not being able to play?
Oh, you might need to educate me there. So are they saying that they're definitely not going to get back in time?
Well, they play Friday morning, 1 a.m. UK time. And then they've got to get back to play on Saturday. So realistically, are you finishing that game, getting on a flight, then playing well the next day? I mean, you might come on for 15 minutes. Probably you're not going to be risked.
Okay. Well, that throws all my plans
but
out.
But I don't
then.
Know if Jesus is part of those plans.
I'm just checking. Yeah.
Ugh, rats. No transfers then.
It's weird. If you just put Jesus into Google, doesn't come up with anything about Man City at all. Some other superstar.
Okay, so that kind of scuppers my plans then. Everything revolved around getting Ronnie out because he unlocks the money to do interesting things.
Yeah, but why don't you then do Ronnie to Antonio and then still get KDB? Can you do that?
Yeah, we could do that.
I mean, that's just as sexy to me. We've said sexy a lot in the last few podcasts, I've just realised.
Do you think we should say something else?
Yeah.
Delicious.
Tasty.
Delightful. Scrummy. Antonio is scrummy. KDB's very scrummy.
Ooh. I was actually with Greg straight from the off. I was thinking we don't do anything because then we've got two transfers to play with next time out. We did say we wanted to hit 300K by game week 10. If we want to do that, then maybe we're not being aggressive enough. But Jota sounds as though he's going to be fit to play based on what Klopp just said. And I'm looking at that Liverpool team and they've got Alisson out if he's going to be away with the Brazil squad potentially. They haven't been all that good at the back anyway. I think Fabinho might potentially be out as well. So Sarr might be quite a good option. And with the new coach coming in, Ranieri loves playing on the counter. And Sarr fits the bill for that. You know, he could be the boy. I quite like our team. If everybody's fit, I quite like it. I do agree. We want to tap into that City fixture. How do you predict what he's going to do?
The thing is, I just hate to not have any stake in that game, in that City game, because there's the potential to be so many points, which is, if you're going to take a hit, I know this is how disasters start, but if you're going to take a hit, you want to take a hit for those games. And to have KDB in, who is so lowly owned, would be a huge difference maker for us. Like we could fly it. I'm sure he's going to pay us about 4 points, isn't he? And we want him for the long run, don't we? I just think United aren't in a good place at the moment. Ronnie could nick a goal, but I'm not that fussed about him.
I like the idea of being aggressive. The reason was I thought we were maybe going to be aggressive next week and I thought we could really go to town on the team with maybe 3 transfers and all and go all guns blazing. But it kind of goes against the narrative that we were talking about the pod before last, where it's like, okay, well, how do we attack this chunk of games to really go up that league? And given the fact that we've got a couple of question marks, this might be the week to do it. My only niggle is that I really do think Ronnie will score against Leicester, because I think that Leicester defence is tosh. It seems silly for me to take a hit and we're then banking on KDB to go turbo, as to coin your
two break. Big boys at the back in that Leicester defence, though, might take a Ronnie header out of the equation. We do need to consider as well just the injury scenario. So in the worst case, Rudiger's out, Rafinha's out, Jota's out, Lukaku's out. On our bench, we've got Marcel. Williams hasn't been starting for Norwich. And then we've got some fella called Scarlett.
The Pimpernel.
Scarlett Pimpernel on the bench, who, well, they literally do seek him here and seek him there. Like, I don't know where he is. Apparently he's at Spurs.
I mean, realistically, Rudiger and Lukaku are going to be fine. Whether or not Rudiger starts, I guess, but Lukaku, surely, come on.
I think we're a bit light, just in terms of if players don't...
Yeah, but your transfer doesn't make us any heavier on the bench.
No, this is a different... I'm just going off on a different tangent now. I was just thinking, do we need to do something about our bench? It's a tricky one. As we always do, we're going to have to wait until the press conferences, but my preference is still to go aggressive, aim for that big target, that big medium-term target, and get some City interest into our team.
Just out of interest, Greg, what's your gut saying about that move? So Jota and Ronaldo out, KDB and Antonio in.
Yeah, I like it. This is what I potentially wanted to do next week, and then that gives us a little bit more dollar to play around to get a City defender in as well. So,
but do you mind doing it for a hit? Because I think we were all thinking the same for next week anyway, but...
I just see Ronaldo scoring this week and I do see Jota scoring this week, which seems silly then just to go uber aggressive against Burnley with KDB, who is still getting back up to form. I know obviously he's back now and he's playing and he's actually starting to vibe a bit more, but I still would like one more game out of him.
I'm just wondering about the upside of the transfer, about KDB and Antonio versus Ronaldo and Jota in the same way as you, I guess. I'm not expecting Antonio to go absolutely wild against that Everton team. Watch it happen.
No, I think with Antonio is someone I think you have to have in your team because he just ticks over and he will score. And as James said last week, Antonio will score against anyone. He's proved it over the years. And if he's fit and firing, you kind of want that player in your squad just to tick over points.
I like him for the week after against Spurs. I think he'll be great. Yeah. I want to think it over. My feeling is I'm quite happy to stick and wait until next week at the moment. But it's an interesting one when you're not thinking about making a move. And I expected that we wouldn't make a move. It's just a bit of a one to get my head around, I suppose. I'm not necessarily seeing the upside in comparison to what we have is where I'm at the moment. Captain this week, we've got the 3 big hitters. Maybe we're only going to have 2. Lots of injuries around, potentially to Lukaku. Ronaldo not on form. Is he even going to be in our team? But Liverpool are the way to go, aren't they? Is Salah captain? Were you thinking anything else?
No. I mean, it's got to be 13 points versus City. 10 points on average per game this season. Like, it's verging on silly to even consider anyone else week in, week out. It's a no-brainer.
If you had to pick another captain, and doesn't have to be someone that we have in the team, who would you go for?
I'd go for the scrumptious KDB. No joke. Like, I
that wasn't
think
the part I was laughing at, Nick. It was.
I would go Ronaldo.
Would you?
Yeah. What is it that you like about Ronaldo this week, Greg?
I like the fact he's playing Leicester, and Leicester can't keep a clean sheet for Toffee. I think they've been so poor. I don't think they're in a good place at all. And I think you've got two underperforming teams playing each other this week. And I think that's a nice recipe for some goals.
Cool. So Salah captain, potentially some transfers. We'll have a chat about that off of the podcast. We'll try and post the team up actually quite a long time before the deadline so that we're being fair and you can see the team at FPL Experiment on Instagram and Twitter. Anything for the end of the podcast, lads?
A bit of bad news. I've not seen the Fox for 3 days.
Oh, wow, the fox that keeps coming in your garden. Do you know what? We had so much interest in that on social media, more so than the podcast, I'm going to be honest.
Are we going to start a fox-based podcast going forward if he comes back?
Kill Franny.
Franny Jeffers.
Have you given it a name?
I just call it Dr. Fox, but Greg's really pushing the Franny Jeffers thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's early days. He's still not officially been christened. I've not dunked him yet, but he has... Yeah, he's gone dark. I've not seen him for a long time. So I'm wondering if maybe
he's getting some better goods elsewhere. I mean, maybe that oat milk that you were giving to him wasn't quite his tonic.
He did seem to turn his nose up at it after a couple of laps, if I'm honest.
Like, maybe Saka wiped him out.
Well, yeah, because I actually said to the missus the other day, I was like, when we hadn't seen him for a couple of days, I was like, oh, God, I wonder if he's all right. Like, when I was younger, my mum gave a hedgehog a Pringle and he died the following day. So I was like, maybe Musaka is just not, you know, for foxes. There's no research online about Musaka.
You've looked it up, though.
Like, well, just like I looked at like processed meat and stuff, there's nothing on there. So if anyone knows about whether foxes can eat human food.
What was the flavour Pringle did your mum feed the hedgehog?
I'd be lying if I could remember, but she's a real fiend for salt and vinegar. So probably those.
How's the window, Greg?
It's getting fixed on the 23rd of November, so...
Not electrolyzed at the moment, then?
Not electrolyzed. No, but I manually put it down, which was good. So my father-in-law came back over again, which was good. So we did that, and then I had to go and put some more tarpooling over it just in case it decided to leak, but it's all right.
Is tarpooling your usual pronunciation or not?
Tarpooling.
I don't know. Why do you say it?
Tarpaulin. Tarpaulin.
Thanks so much, Pauline.
Pauline Quirk. Tar Pauline Quirk.
Anyway.
I'm not sure where this is gone.
What will I do when you
Dorian.
Are far away? Na, 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 na. What will I do?
What a lovely ending to the pod.
Yeah, nice.